The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
Yo, Auntie, you was with Drake and them?
They was with me.
Ooh.
Drake and Travis was with me. Drake wanted, look, let's get the record straight. Drake, no, turn off the music. They got to hear this. Drake wanted the smoke, got the smoke, and lost, right? T. Scott, he was taught when I said
who
I was
T. Scott,
Travis Scott. I was like, I will beat your ass, nephew. He talked about never that. He actually, in the 3-point contest on the Nike campus, he actually sent a representative out to shoot for him. I'm like, bro, if you can't shoot from the 3-point line, you ain't shooting against Auntie.
Travis Scott did that.
He sent a representative.
He knows
out
his lane, though. The man knows his lane.
How was that? Can you just give us a quick like? Tell the people like what you do, like what your real job is, and then get into like the experience with LeBron and what you were doing with Drake and T. Scott, why you guys were all together.
Well, you know, I have one of the best jobs in the world. You know, I work for Nike in Nike brand, in global brand with the global athletes, and we only have 10 of those. And so this past week was JDI week. On the Nike campus called Just Do It Week. And we were celebrating 50 years. So we brought back 50 of the most iconic athletes and we celebrated them. And we have kind of like our Oscars called the Maxim Awards. Colin Kaepernick was there and Drake hosted and Travis Scott, obviously a Nike and slash Jordan athlete. A signed entertainer, you know, he entertained and it was great. I mean, it was cool to be on campus and just celebrating the swoosh for 50 years.
Right. And then was it the week before you guys like revealed LeBron James Center or something?
It was that same week. Yeah, they had built the new LeBron James building. It's a dope. It's like where the innovation happens at Nike. It's amazing. He was so excited. And they finally officially dedicated it and opened it up. Last week. So
I love that. They have an incredible, I don't know where in the facility it is, but they have an incredible portrait of his mother.
Really?
Of Gloria James. I don't know if LeBron's also in it or it's just a portrait of her, but you know how instrumental she has been in his life and how close they are. And I saw a photo of the portrait and it was beautifully done. So
there's actually the restaurant at the bottom of the LeBron James building is called Glow's. And so there's recipes from Gloria and LeBron. I haven't tasted it yet, but I'll let y'all know. But it was a wonderful week. LeBron was a total.
LeBron has good taste in food. Cleveland All-Star Weekend, this past All-Star Weekend, he had a dinner that I went to.
You were invited?
Yeah, LeBron. Listen, LeBron's cool people. All those guys over at Spring.
LeBron's one of the best, most.
His wife was there. Matt was there. All those guys were there. He has great taste in food. So I don't doubt that restaurant probably is going to be phenomenal.
I mean, people love it. And like I said, he was such a professional and LeBron's such a great guy. And
he's cool. He's cool.
Tremendous businessman. So I look forward to anything coming from him.
On the topic of business, not such great business, we're going to pivot a little bit and talk about the fallout of Robert Sarver, Phoenix Suns owner. PayPal has an ultimatum for him, and it's either that the disgraced owner resigns or one of the biggest companies in the world is going to pull the plug on a lucrative sponsorship deal. CEO and president of PayPal, Dan Schulman, released a strongly worded statement Friday morning, and he did not mince words. He said, quote, PayPal is a values-driven company and has a strong record of combating racism, sexism, and all forms of discrimination. We have reviewed the report of the NBA League's independent investigation into Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver and found his conduct unacceptable and in conflict with our values. Now, listen, also Phoenix Suns minority owner followed in the steps of Chris Paul, LeBron James, and a few other NBA players who spoke out against the ruling unfavorably. And basically said the same thing, that he should resign ASAP after the NBA found that he's used racist language and bullied employees during his tenure. So for those who are unaware of the situation, a overview of it was Robert Sarver has been accused by multiple employees, former employees, over 17 years of ownership, that he engaged in misogynistic and racist language and also actions. Some of the things that were mentioned in the report were, you know, not just using racist language, but also doing things such as exposing his genitals to female employees, you know, commenting on sexual acts that they do with their partners, commenting on the weight of Suns dancers and other female employees, just being crude and inappropriate and predatory, and also going back to the racist language. You know, there were multiple reports that he used the N-word multiple times. And there were trails, allegedly, of emails and firsthand reports. And also it was reported that he did not create an environment where this was even something they could report to HR, because HR wasn't set up in a way that was even going to investigate claims like this. So it was kind of an environment where you were walking on eggshells because you were so uncomfortable, and there was no way to go ahead and change that uncomfortableness that you were feeling in the workplace. It wasn't a safe work environment. The NBA came down, gave him a 1-year suspension and a $10 million fine, which is really, you know, I spoke on this a couple of days ago. For me, it's extremely disappointing from a league that claims to be so liberal, right? We always talk about the differences between the NFL and the NBA, and how the NBA, the things that are allowed in the NFL would never happen in the NBA because they don't stand for it. They're very progressive. They're very liberal. It's a players first league. But then you go ahead and you give a joke of a suspension, a joke of a fine to an owner who has almost 2 decades worth of just inappropriate, just disgusting, vile, misogynistic behavior. And then Adam Silver goes in a press conference and in so many words says that players and owners are held to a different standard because owners are not employees, which wasn't a surprise, I think, to anybody, because we always knew that owners and players were held to a different standard. But hearing it come out of his mouth was definitely disheartening. And then he tries to double back on it, but it's like, you already said it. Auntie, I mean, what do you make of this whole situation?
Yo, this pisses me off because, you know, they talk about the fact that the Phoenix, the Suns employ the most percentage of people of color in the league. And this is like the rich person's version of having Black friends. And so he feels like he can say the word, he can talk to people, he can jump out of the shower naked and stand in front of a male employee, and he can do all of this egregious behavior, right? But always pass it off as, oh, I was just joking.
And not to mention, before you finish that sentence, he not only is owner of the Phoenix Suns, which is in a league, 75% Black men play in the NBA, the Phoenix Mercury, where he deals with minority women, double minorities, Black women and women. So it's
but guess what? If I, you know, this is that, like I said, that rich white man's mentality, in that, you know what? I employ more Black people under me than anybody. So that gives me a pass every now and then to say the N word. And then when they call me out on it, it's just me saying, you know what? I'm just telling you what Brandon told me. I'm just telling you what Rachel told me to say. And they told him, stop saying the N word. And they said he said it at least five times.
At least
five times on the record. So you know how many times it was off the record.
Absolutely.
But you're getting out of the shower naked and standing in front of an employee. Like, you know, you're asking players. He asked one of the Suns players if he shaved his balls. Like,
right.
What kind of shit is that? And if that were a woman who acted like that, she'd be gone immediately. And, you know, he was one of the good boys in the NBA. But this is, for me, I mean, this is totally unacceptable. I hope that PayPal does leave. I hope that all of his sponsors leave. And guess what? A year away from his team, guess what?
Billionaire. Mercury, at that.
Right. If the Phoenix Mercury win the title next year and the Suns, guess what? He'll still be able to hold the trophy. And what's $10 million to a guy who owes?
It's the putting, you know, it's this ideology that billionaires, especially white billionaires for the most part, tend to put business above morality, and we've Absolutely. Seen it so many times, and it's frustrating, and it's, you know, it's something that for me it's disheartening because it's coming from the NBA. If this was the NFL, it would almost be like, oh, it's here we go again, it's expected.
Right.
But the NBA is not supposed to stand for things like this. They're a league that always prides itself on progression and doing the right thing and being socially aware. And you're not socially aware when you bring a suspension forward for somebody who should no longer have a team. The only thing protecting this man from not losing his team as of yet, based on the NBA's ruling, is the fact that they didn't have any concrete proof like they did with Donald Sterling, right? There was no voicemail. There was nothing that you can hold and say, well, we got him. It's all quote unquote word of mouth. And he said, she said. But for almost two decades worth of accusations are not tall tales. They're not fables. They're not made up. Not everybody came together and said, you know what, we're going to get him out of here. Let's make sure we start at 17 years right. ago and let's all start talking. No, it happened. Like, it happened. We don't need any more. We don't need concrete proof to know that it happened. And it's disappointing from Adam Silver, for somebody who has built his entire foundation as commissioner on the grounds of always being socially aware and not standing for certain things. And he did the exact thing that he said he would never do.
Right.
One that's crazy before, and I'd love to hear what you got to say, nephew. I know you have something amazing to chime in on this, but it wasn't just Black people who were making these allegations.
No.
It wasn't just women. It was everybody.
Everyone.
Right? When one person talks, okay. Two, okay. 20, 30, over 18 years, that's a lot of people. And I'm tired, like you said, I'm tired of rich white men using wealth as an excuse for being there for their moral compass not pointing in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm gonna piggyback right there, piggyback off of you right there. And that's I'm blessed to be in a position where I played in the National Football League and I've established some great relationships with owners. Okay. And people in power. And the interesting thing is, still to this day, after 2016, Kaepernick really putting fuel on a conversation that was just there. And then 2020, they still act and conduct themselves like we're not having this conversation.
Right.
Right. They don't think they're going to get caught. They don't think this stuff will ever get out. Like, there's so many times, and it's not just owners, there's also men, where it's like, man, bro, like, you don't remember the Me Too movement? Like, what are you saying? What are you doing right now? Right? So it's interesting for me when I'm actually in these private settings and I still hear men conduct themselves or talk the way they talk. And I'm like, bro, like, this shit could just tear you down, tear your whole operation down. What are you doing?
But it goes back to speaking about wealthy people mm-hmm. have big egos, and wealthy men, wealthy white men, who white men in general are already in a position to succeed in this country. You give them billions of dollars, it just inflates a sense of entitlement that they already have, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least that they portray to have, because I can't speak for every single white man in the country, but that they portray to have. So you give them money and they feel untouchable. They feel like, well, listen, even if I do get caught, what are you going to do to me? Nothing. Like, and right. They feel like that because 9 times out of 10, they do get away with it. Nothing happens. Right. Like, right. It's only now that responsibility has been started to not see money. But even at that, even now, it's such a small amount of the time that a billionaire cannot talk himself out of a situation that it's not enough to make the rest of them scared, because they know, listen, that was just the exception. It's not the rule.
Right.
Right.
But guess what? But then he could turn around and say, you know what? But y'all, even though I'm saying the N word, and I was just saying that that's what they told me, but right. Y'all are forgetting that in May, I gave $100,000 to the Thurgood Marshall Trust Service right. and Heritage. You know, I gave millions and millions of dollars to minority-owned organizations and nonprofits, and so they expect that to be their permission slip to talk to people any old kind of way. Mm. And do any old kind of thing that they can any old time. Like, right. like Chris Paul said, the sanctions fell short.
Right. Exactly. And I'm glad you brought up Chris Paul. Cause for me, you know, Ashley, you opened with this, you know, people calling for his resignation. Right. And we talked right. about these companies starting to pull out now. They can survive that. The NFL survived, you know, Colin Kaepernick and companies pulling out, certain people doing certain things, right? What they can't survive is the players standing up and saying, I don't want to play for him. I will not play for him. Mm. So I'm saying all that to say this. What the players want, the players will get. If the players don't want to play for him and they want him to resign, and you see LeBron say that, if you see Chris Paul say that, right? Book right. say that,
right?
Oh, he's going to be out of there. He's going to be out of there, right? That's a huge problem.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting what the fallout from this is, but I don't know how, you know.
Because you also got to think about you also got to think about the community. Right. You know, there's so much pressure on irresponsibility on athletes, artists, people who have a platform, power, right, mm-hmm. from their communities, right? But the Black athlete, You gotta remember this. That shit is sweet when you're in the locker room. That shit is sweet when you're in the arena. You know, it's cool when you're on your private plane and y'all chopping up. It's cool when you're wearing Balenciaga and Louis Vuitton. But you got family members who are still back home and they're dealing with this. And no, right. you're going back to that conversation. And I can assure you that these basketball players, you know, their family members hitting them up. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. What are you going to say? Right? Like, there's a mm-hmm. responsibility for these athletes to say the right thing, do the right thing. And then also, and it's not about just saying the right thing. It's about, like, man, what when you say fell short, well, what's supposed to happen?
Right.
And stand on that. And the last thing I would say to this is, I feel, you know, Kaepernick started this conversation in 2016. You had the world marching in the middle of a pandemic in 2020, right? Everyone took this conversation, pushed it forward. And, you know, it 2020 gave the athlete like this confidence to stand up and say, oh shit, I can push back on these owners. I can push back on the league, right? Mm-hmm. Like, players are bold now. Like, you know, and I don't know if it's just this generation where it's like, yo, if you're not doing the right things, oh, hell, like your company, ain't nobody going to support it. Ain't nobody coming, right? They're going to call for your head. People are more confident and bold today. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
And listen, would like to see the same people who have, and rightfully so, energy for people like Watson and you know, or disgusted and despise what transpired there, keep that same energy for owners. And, right. you know, there's a saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Basically what that means is the moral compass doesn't change. If that's the foundation that you stand on and that's how you go ahead and exist and that's what right and from wrong is for you. That doesn't waver depending on who it is. It's just across the board. So
what I think comes out of it,
definitely developing for sure.
You want to think comes out of it real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
That is, I think, you know, Chris Paul came out and voiced his opinion. Devin Booker hasn't yet, but I think I'm predicting that Devin Booker quietly is not happy with this whole thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks go after him.
We should see.
My words.
We should see. Listen.
Devin Booker to the Knicks.
I'm all for it, Auntie, but don't get my hopes up.
I'm Bruce Murray, host of The Replay, sports on the big screen. Now let me ask you, is there anything better than the perfect sports movie? Watching Rudy run onto the field or Jimmy Chitwood take the final shot? You know the ending, but you still feel something that's nearly impossible to replicate. On my new podcast, we're taking a deep look at your favorite sports movies and the real stories behind them. You can find The Replay, sports on the big screen, on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Ashley Nicole Moss, Brandon Marshall, Auntie Chantel, and we have a special guest in the building, Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker. Listen, three-time Pro Bowler and two-time NFL All-Pro who played 15 seasons in the NFL for 15 different teams. Mostly a team is near that's near and dear to Auntie Chantel, Pittsburgh and Seattle, and contributed over 1,000 tackles and 79 sacks. Now, listen, since retiring, he's worked as a color analyst and sideline reporter for college and NFL games, and he will actually be working the Arkansas Pine Bluff versus Oklahoma State game tomorrow for ESPN Plus. Please welcome Chad Brown. Welcome to the show, Chad. How are you?
I am fantastic. Happy Football Friday to everybody out there, and thanks for having me on.
I'm excited to have you
on.
Listen, we're gonna dive into some football. What did you make of that Chiefs Chargers game last night?
Do that. Me Why? And Auntie from Week Pittsburgh people.
You're not. I
Real
mean,
quick,
you're
yes,
not.
Yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. What right. was your favorite part of Pittsburgh playing there?
What my favorite. You know what? Pittsburgh is awesome. I think it's unique amongst NFL cities because
you don't have to lie, Chad. It's okay.
No, it's okay. No, this is all true. This is all true. The Steeler fans. They grow up Steeler fans. They sleep on Steeler sheets. Kids wear Steeler bibs and Steeler PJs. So other places, I think, you know, the fandom is not so woven into who you are. If you are from Pittsburgh, you are a Steeler fan. It's just an automatic kind of thing out there. So other cities have great fan bases, and I don't want to deny the greatness of other fan bases, but there's no place where the fabric of the city, the team, the people are so tightly woven together that it's almost inseparable. You can't pull them apart.
I raise you Dallas Cowboy fans. I had Cowboy pajamas. I have a shirt that I sleep in that's a Cowboy shirt. I had a cowboy. I actually still have a Cowboys bathrobe. Yeah,
But you know what though? Why are y'all so quiet?
We're not quiet.
The fans
better be quiet right now because y'all always won.
Well, because we're in pain, Auntie. That's different. We're in pain. But it's like we're in mourning right now.
No one travels better than the Steelers fans. No
true.
One.
They'll give you that.
There are some teams.
Bills fans Saints, travel phenomenally. Loud,
but when you go to the Cowboys, it's like you guys are so like
when we're winning, we're loud.
Club. It's like country club.
When we're winning, we're loud.
It's a country club environment.
Well, you're
you know what the difference? The biggest difference, I think. Cowboy fans at the beginning of a lot of Cowboy fans aren't in, don't even have any ties to Dallas, right?
Like me.
But a lot of Cowboy fans, they talk all the trash. They're the biggest talkers before the season. Every season in the preseason, Dallas is going to win the Super Bowl, right? Pittsburgh fans are just loud for the Steelers. And maybe because maybe we have more Super Bowls than the Cowboys, but I don't know.
Moving on, ladies and gentlemen. Chad, what was your impression of last night's Chiefs and Chargers game? It was definitely an interesting one.
Yeah, I think the AFC West this year may be the greatest quarterback division of all time. Mm. So we saw Justin Herbert. We saw Patrick Mahomes. Derek Carr's not bad. And then Russell Wilson in Denver. So great quarterback division. We were treated with some excellent quarterback play last night. Justin Herbert coming off the mat with the torn rib cartilage, delivering a dime on 4th-and-1. So some awesome quarterback play. But in the end, the Chiefs are a better football team. And for some reason, the Chargers find ways to lose games. The Chargers are going to charger is the statement. And that was true again last night. The Chiefs didn't necessarily beat them as much as the Chargers beat themselves once again. Great effort, valiant effort, makes it close, makes it interesting. But in the end, the Chargers tend to charger.
See, I agree with you. And I said that earlier when we were doing a review of the game, a recap of the game. I was like, this was more about the Chargers than it was the Chiefs, right? Yep. But before we move on, you brought up the broken ribs or the fractured cartilage question for you because we had this debate earlier in the show. Is that bone? Is cartilage considered bone?
No, it's the connective tissue between the bones. Yes.
Appreciate you, Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
Yes, I got you. Yes, it's not bone. It's that connective tissue between the bones. So, what helps hold your ribs in place?
Of all the teams that have played, you know, that either won or lost, who do you feel is feeling the most pressure going into week 2? Is it a team, a particular player?
You know what? I'll go to Denver, you know, where I live during football season for the most part, with all the fanfare for Russell Wilson, with all the optimistic hopefulness for Nathaniel Hackett becoming the head coach, to go to Seattle, lose like they did on a terrible decision to kick a 64-yard field goal, not let Russ Cook put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands. You gave the dude $245 million.
Ooh.
And now you're going to give it the game to the kicker?
That's Brandon's best friend. So let's keep it honest. That's his BFF. They're biffles.
Yeah, but you're not blaming Russ, though, are you?
No, I'm not. Russ didn't fumble at the goal line like Javonte and Melvin did.
Yep.
Russ didn't make that decision to kick the field goal at the end of the game. But the pressure, because of all the expectations, Bronco fans have been so hungry ever since Peyton Manning left for a franchise quarterback. Now you get one. The quarterback gets to go back to his old place and, you know, do what he's supposed to do. Unfortunately, the team around him doesn't do that. So they lose this game. Now they got Houston at home, which played pretty good against the Colts last week. They played pretty good against the Colts. So this ain't as easy as everyone chalked it up to be. When the Bronco fans started looking at that schedule when it first came out, so the Broncos, Nathaniel Hackett, Russell Wilson, they got to find a way not just to win, but to win big and kind of silence all the critics out there.
See, but I don't think we see the best Broncos team until around week 6, week 7. Because it's like, if you watch that game, Russ threw for 340. Great. Looks amazing. They rushed for 100. Awesome. Right. But that offense, it wasn't like sharp to me. You know, there was a couple delays.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bunch of times where Russ is at the line and he's still pushing guys and lining guys up. Mm-hmm. There was too much going on for me. So that's promising because they beat the Seattle Seahawks 9 out of 10 times, right? They do. but they shot themselves in the foot. They can't turn the ball over. I always say job security is ball security is job security, yours and mine. You can't turn it over. You can't win, right? They need to fix some things. And once they get that offense crisp and everybody feel good about their role, I think they're going to get going. Jerry Jeudy didn't get in the game until late. Sutton didn't get in the game and involved until late, right? So there's a lot of things they need to work through.
Yeah, now that would be understandable, and I think fans would be like, okay, but Coach Hackett was asked, are you nervous for your first game? And he dismissed the question. I got this. I've been doing football a long time. So you didn't play any of your guys in the preseason. You only had one joint practice against the Dallas Cowboys. You guys didn't do any live tackling during training camp. And guess what? Your running backs fumbled because they ain't had full contact until game one. Guess what? You on your offense that you call the plays for, head coach, you guys had several delays of games, and there were lots of plays, as you point out. Russ was trying to get guys lined up. So clearly you guys weren't ready to go 100 miles an hour on game one, so some preseason action might have helped, coach. But no, you dismissed the question out of hand, like, I got this. Get on my back. I'm going to take y'all to the Super Bowl. That's why I say the pressure is ratcheting up on Hackett and the Broncos.
Well, I got a question. Can I ask a question, Ashley? Is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead. We have enough time.
Yes, go ahead.
Two-part question. One, because we didn't touch on it earlier, but I saw it in the notes. Between Dak Prescott
and
TJ Watt, which injury hurts which team more? And then number two, when do you expect to see Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh this year?
Ooh, okay. Number one, Dak Prescott by far hurts the Cowboys way worse. For TJ Watt and the Pittsburgh Steelers have this model. They've been playing the same defense since before I was there. You know, my rookie year was 1993. So they've been playing the same defense. So if you are a scout for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know what you are looking for from an edge rusher. Go back from TJ Watt, go to James Harrison, to Joey Porter, to Chad Brown, to Kevin Green, to Greg Lloyd. The list is long. So if you're trying to find players to fit that role, you can do that. This year, it's Highsmith. Had three sacks against Cincinnati last week. They just got Malik Reed from the Broncos in the trade because the Broncos had too many edge guys. Another guy who fits that mold in Pittsburgh. So they've got guys behind them. They're not going to be T.J. Watt. Not going to have the same kind of production. Not going to draw the same
kind
of attention.
They're not going to be Chad Brown.
They're not going to be Chad Brown, but they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But for Dak Prescott, you know, the Cowboys have no real answer behind him. It's Cooper Rush, right? And Cooper Rush ain't going to be rushing anybody to some kind of championship anytime soon.
Now, what you think about Kenny Pickett?
You know, maybe week seven, week eight. You know, I think the coaches want to get the offense up and going. They want to create some kind of rhythm offensively. Mitch Trubisky will begin to show his limitations. And at some point, Mike T's got to, you know, make the switch and go with the young fella because the promise is there.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Chad, outside of being, you know, a former NFL star, you're also into breeding, raising, and selling reptiles. You have a 55, and that is not a wrong number, a 55-year-old lizard named Fernando. Is that correct?
What?
You are correct. Wow. You are correct.
Wow.
Yeah, so Fernando is the world's oldest and largest beaded lizard. Beaded lizards are the larger cousin of Gila monsters. Everyone knows Gila monsters, the only venomous species of lizard on the planet. Well, beetle lizards are also venomous. I am in possession of Fernando, get to be a caretaker for him. And each day that he lives, he sets a new longevity record for that particular species. I've been fascinated by animals my entire life. I started breeding reptiles while I was still in college at the University of Colorado. Got some money in my pocket in the NFL. Built my business, Pearl Exotics Reptiles. We used to produce several thousand baby reptiles every year, sold them all over the world. And now I've got my company, Ship Your Reptiles, where I help hobbyists and businesses ship reptiles all across America.
Wow.
That's cool. Brandon, you want to get into the reptile business?
Heck no. Hey, listen, yeah, no.
Now,
this is
a podcast, and I can see everyone's faces here. And there is a certain cultural cultural thing about reptiles that most folks of color are not so interested in reptiles.
Why is that?
I think it's
black people don't like birds.
I think it's a taught thing. It's a cultural thing. Now at reptile shows and stuff like that, there's definitely more and more people of color every single year. But yeah, it is a taught thing. I'm not sure if it's a Southern thing or, you know, something from your grandma or whatever, but there's something there for sure.
So do you,
is it a movie thing?
So
do you, in the movie, because in the movies, the reptiles always eat the black people first.
Right. Well, black people, they always die.
No, let's call it what it is, Chad. Like,
but they also died in horror movies first, and that's not reptile related.
You got to put this
we
in the
same. We saw Ice Cube get eaten by the anaconda. Right. Come on,
y'all. We saw that. Yeah.
I put it in the same category as, you know, in our culture, it's like, oh, that steak, I need it well done.
Yes. It is a clear cultural phenomenon that I can't necessarily find the origins
My steak is very clear. Well.
Well, you Sicilian.
I do my steak medium well. I don't want to like chew it for 10 hours.
I mean, but it took me to, when I got to high school, my high school defensive coordinator, you know, I was player of the week, and he'd bring the guys over, whoever was the offensive player of the week and defensive player of the week, and he'll cook them a steak. And he made me this ribeye, and it was medium.
I was scared,
but then I had it. I was like, oh my goodness.
Brandon, let's talk about the flex though. But Chad, how many times were you defensive player of the week? Because I'm sure you were more than once.
Many times. I can't say exactly how many, but there's many to that. Yes.
And Brandon was just flexing on his one time.
What's your website? Where can we get these reptiles from?
Right.
Okay, so you go to shipyourreptiles.com. I don't sell them. I help you ship them. So if you're a military family, you know, get little Timmy's turtle from Tennessee to Texas, I can help you with that. If you've got a little reptile project you're doing in the spare bedroom, you need to send babies out to your eventual customers, I can help you with that. You're moving across country. You need to move your animals across country. I can help you with that. I don't sell the animals. There's lots of places you can go to see them. Probably the best place on the web right now is a place called morphmarket.com. Morphmarket.com is the largest online classifieds of reptiles. And they are a partner of mine, and they sell reptiles. And a lot of those folks who sell those reptiles there use my services to send them out to their customers.
Thanks, OG.
Shout out to Little Timmy's Turtle. Shout out to Fernando. And shout out to Chad Brown. Thank you so much for joining the show.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.